action of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Are you fucking with me?
I am
just disagreeing with you. In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to disagree.
Any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary, by any means necessary, to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
54, Pierce.
Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Think about that. Even in the words you speak, there is a boundary. You don't need to embellish. You don't need to argue. You don't need to defend.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Brian once again.
Morning.
Morning. All right, so you were going to fill me in on this new program you're a member of.
yeah, so... I guess long story short, I hit rock bottom, dude. I mean, not drinking, not doing drugs or anything like that, but just life stress, you know, being unemployed for 16 months, watching all of our liquid assets just drain away, you know, and it's my fault. I'm the one that caused it, you know, and, my relationship with my wife getting more and more strained, and literally just felt like I was sitting at the bottom of a well, you know, staring up at a pinhole of light. I reached out to a buddy of mine out in Marietta and just said, dude, I gotta do something. I gotta get with a cohort of, you know, veterans. I get along with veterans pretty well. And I just like, I love the dark humor. I love the camaraderie, you know? And he just said, well, check out Save a Warrior. He said, maybe, you know, maybe they'll take you in as a Gold Star dad. And that was a Friday. So Saturday, I checked out their website. I sent in the application. Guy got back with me Sunday. We set up a meeting for Monday. Had that call.
Zoom meeting?
Yeah. Yeah. It was an hour long. He calls it a mustering call. And they go through a big, you know, like an hour conversation. And it's a assessment of where you're at, and they're looking for certain what he referred to as biomarkers for your past and what you're experiencing. And he said, okay, you know, I clicked all those boxes, so they'd accept me, and they signed me up for what they, you know, call a cohort in November, and it was going to be cohort 0299. Like November 13th. And quite frankly, my stress level just escalated because I didn't know how I was going to get past tomorrow with my wife. It was that bad. You know, we're just literally on eggshells, literally stopped talking to each other. And then the next day, Tuesday, he calls me back. He said, hey, we had a cancellation. Can you make it in this week? This Thursday. I'm like, well, let me check my work calendar. Yeah, I can make it, you know? And that bumped me to cohort 0297. And that was a serious kick in the face because that was the month my son was born, my first kid. And that's, I think, when my wife, you know, changed from it being just us to her being a mom and the kid becoming the primary responsibility of her life and her focus. And it wasn't me anymore. And I had to really struggle with that. And it didn't hit me until like the second day into the program. But anyway, so this is a total God thing, dude. At every step, like talking to Jared, getting the contact, the fact that they could take me through the Disabled American Veterans. So this program is designed for veterans and first responders primarily, right? So cops, firefighters, which there were all three of those in this group. I was only one of two civilians. So you feel a little awkward because you're like, I don't think I belong here. I'm not a combat vet. I didn't suffer PTS like those guys did. And that's where I was so wrong because, it was basically two cohorts, 0296, or sorry, 026. Yeah, 0296 and 0297. I was in 0297. And so it's nine guys per, so it was 18 dudes going through this all at the same time. And what I found was I was in a room of men who were going through the exact same thing I was going through. And it wasn't what I expected at all, dude. It was, those biomarkers they were talking about, that's where we all, I think, like everybody in America should go through this course. That's kind of how I feel about it. Because it's not about your combat service. It's not about, the stress. It is a suicide interdiction program, and they have an amazing success rate. It's like out of 3,000 participants, 13 have killed themselves. But some of these dudes coming in here were like gun in the mouth, sitting in their driveway, literally that close. And so they take it deathly seriously. It's not, no fun and games. It's work. It's work, 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 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. for 3 days. And fuck, it was, oh, dude, so cathartic, so liberating. The challenge really now is I see, for instance, in my most intimate relationship on the planet with my wife, I see where she's struggling, and I can't get her to push past that. So that's kind of where the tension is for me right now. But for myself, dude, it achieved more than I expected. I really wanted to find who I was again. I think a number of life things. My childhood was a big factor. I was basically abandoned by both my parents, and my mom had to go back to work. My dad was he was physically dependent on Valium when I was born, and it just got worse after that. And then he was taking all kinds of experimental meds and stuff because they were chasing a phantom back pain that I believe he was faking because it was so much better for him just to lay on the couch, and pop some pills and all his problems went away. That's basically, kind of what kickstarted the whole thing for me. And then just survival, having to be an adult at 12 years old, having to, did my own laundry, took care of all my own meals, to I decided if I wanted to go to school or not. I decided if I, who I was going to interact with. And I had more interaction with adults in effect than I did with kids, because I chose to step out of that childhood experience, and be what I thought was being an adult, which, I started smoking at 12 years old, crap like that. And it's just by the miracle, a miracle, dude, the hand of God just keeping me out of the dirt, keeping me out of jail, keeping me out of all kinds of stuff. So, what I've learned is that I was stuck in a loop of shame and denial, and the way you mask that is through numbing, dude. And I think you could probably relate to this too, right? And numbing comes in a lot of different forms. Can being on a Slack group and devoting all my time to just Slack, some kind of a chat group, being online, watching videos, drinking. Some dudes were doing heavy drugs, some dudes were not, and the commonality there was that we were all stuck and we learned how to break out of it. And it's been life-changing. So yeah, man, if anybody listening, if you're a veteran especially, it's free. 100% free. All you have to do is get your ass there. It's in Hillsboro, Ohio. You go to the website, submit your application, you'll get that mustering call, and just be honest, And if you don't meet the biomarkers, that's probably a good news. But
Right.
if you do, they'll get you in. They'll
Yeah.
get you in. And there's the, oh, I can't even begin to describe the amount of care. The people that were there giving up their times. One dude flew in from LA on his own dime just to be there to help us. Jake Clark is the dude who founded it, Army vet, Secret Service, FBI, blew his life up at 31 and was on a 20-year journey to try to figure out what the hell am I doing? How do I unfuck myself? And that's exactly what I said I wanted to do, was unfuck myself. And yeah, no, it's a, and I've got a 500-day plan coming out of it, and it's daily work just to get myself out of that old mindset, that led to the being stuck in a loop and staying out of that loop. And that they give you the they give you tools is kind of a bad word, but they give you the consciousness to identify when you're going through a situation where you need to step back. You just have to say, I need a minute. And I'm just going to pause and I'm going to go adjust my brain and I'll come back and engage with you. But I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not getting in this tit for tat fight over stupid shit. It's not
Yeah.
going to happen. We're not going down that path. I'm not going to, the hard reality is for me, and I think this is probably true for everybody, is I have to fix me. This is my life. This is. I was doing some shit that was really stupid and potentially not good for my longevity, And I have to fix that. And I have to be a strong man. I have to be able to take care of myself. If I can't take care of myself, how the hell am I going to take care of a woman? And
Right.
luckily, thank God, at this point in my life, my kids are adults. So I don't have to worry about them as far as like taking care of them. It's not like they're infants or toddlers or whatever. That would be a whole hell of a lot harder, but
Right.
you could still, obviously you could still get through it, but for me it's a little bit easier. And
Is there does it deal with employment at all, or
in what regard?
don't, I thought maybe there was like a pathway to, or a program. I don't know. I was just,
I
I have no
wish.
idea what the whole thing's about. So
It's about.
to me, it sounds, yeah, it sounds like suicide prevention is the main thing, right? But,
If you are on the edge, serious, Jake kind of says, when you're tired of fighting this, when you're tired of fighting the demons in your head, when you're tired of laying at the bottom of that well and staring up at that hole, 72 hours, man. It's free. And 72 hours later, you will have a completely different perspective on your life and your mind. And, there's a huge spiritual component to it. They are very non, committal to any belief system, but for me, it's God. It's 100%
yeah,
God,
it's
And
all spiritual warfare, man, you know.
there is a It's a huge component. And what was really kind of shocking was seeing that God is working in the hearts of people who aren't believers of Jesus Christ. And he's still interacting with those people. He's still helping them and he's still giving them opportunities to acknowledge that, it's him. They refer to it as whales, and that's a whole. There's a whole lot of goofy stuff you do, but it's intentional. It's to to break your mind out of these kind of preloaded scenarios that we run through in our heads, So if you're thinking about God is interacting you, and it goes to the movie Castaway, at the end of the movie when he's on the raft, these whales kept interacting with them, and it was in a positive way, alerting him that the ship was there, alerting him that, his relationship with Wilson had to end because that was a crutch, and it was devastating to him, but that was part of his growth process, right? So anyway, there, oh man.
All right. All
Yeah,
right.
so I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say the kind of the last part of this that was really significant for me was a couple things. They have a labyrinth there, a stone labyrinth, and a lot of the philosophy of what they're doing and why they're doing it goes back as far as Jake could research in terms of like the Greeks and the Romans and helping warriors return from battle and reintegrate with society, and that how shitty we handle it in America. We just basically bring people back and say go home. And so these there were some kind of ancient, I don't want to say rituals, but they were processes, that labyrinth was one of them. I got to reflect a lot. I left something behind that was emblematic of where I was, how I was stuck. It was a little patch on the back of my hat that said suck meter, and it was pegged at the full mark. And I left that behind because that's not where I'm at anymore. That's where my head was. And my son had, oldest son had given that to me. And it just needed to stay there. And there were a lot of talismans other people had left behind, their fallen brothers' bracelets, stuff like that, just because personal reasons, And then we had a grief mourning of the dead fire type ceremony where we just let it all go, dude. I blew out my vocal cords. I did it twice because the second time I realized I'm harboring a lot of hatred of the VA and a certain nurse practitioner who lives in Montana, right? And I
Yeah.
needed to deal with that because it was killing me, that hatred. And I tried to forgive her before, and it's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't let this go. This is my fuel, my hatred of this woman and what she did to my kid and our family. And I dealt, but I dealt with it, and it was unbelievable. It was just like 150 pounds of lead was just pulled out of my chest. It really, really was. And I didn't really feel it till the next day, but it's like I woke up and just, wow. And then some of the those coping processes, meditation's one of them. And I've never meditated my entire life, and now I'm doing it twice a day. It's just 20 minutes. It's a process they came up with. They actually patented it, if you can believe that, but they give it away. It's just a process, a three-stage meditation, just to help you center yourself, so that's been a changer. I tell you, my resting heart rate dropped 12 beats per minute this the day I started meditation, and it just went boop. It went from like 70 to 57
Do you have
over
to
like
like
overnight.
sit a particular way, or can you like sit on a couch and do it?
You can do whatever you want,
Yeah.
you sit wherever you want. It just there's some general practices like just be in a quiet place. You don't want distractions. Like every once in a while, I'll sit up in the library, which is just off the kitchen, which and then on the other side is just off the stairs for and all the bedrooms are upstairs. So at some point in the day, it's a bad place to be because of the traffic, the foot traffic, the background noise. The kitchen gets really loud. But I'll sit down here. I'm down in the basement. I'll do it here. I'll do it up in the library. I'll go outside. I did it in bed last night. I was just laying in bed. Oh, it's really good for just zonking you out for going to sleep. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, it's just it's like a cleansing and or just a relaxation mechanism to help you help your mind find ways to calm itself. Because a lot of these guys are in hypervigilance mode. You know, like they're walking to a restaurant and they sit against a wall so they can look at the door. You know, there's always in threat assessment, threat identification, you know, attack mitigation constantly. You know, and I know a lot of guys listening to this are probably in that boat. And I
Yeah,
was
yeah.
to a degree, you know, just it was a learned behavior for me, just not sitting with my back to the door. I actually do it now just to prove to myself that I can do it.
Huh.
But it's, you know, is that smart? Maybe not, but
I can relate to that. I mean, even in parking my truck a particular way, like, you got to be ready to like flee the scene or whatever, you know what I
back
mean?
in, back in. That's really just to touch on that. I learned that in my professional career at working at a telecom facility, and they required everybody to back in, and their logic was you are most alert when you're pulling in the parking lot. You are least alert when you're backing out of the parking lot. So why back out? Why, you know, put everybody at risk? Back in while you're alert. That is the most dangerous, you know, mode of operating a motor vehicle is backing up, and just take care of that while your brain's active and you're in. It just made a crap ton of sense. Plus, I got a F-350, so my ass hangs out quite a lot. So I tend to back into, you
Me
know,
and my
curb.
wife get into it all the time. Like if I'm driving, I'll park far away from the door so that you know how there's two parking spots. I'll pull into one where I can just pull straight in, but now I'm in the spot where I can just pull straight out. And she's like, "Why you park so far away?" And I'm like, "Didn't you want to like go for a walk after this for exercise? Now, why can't we walk farther now? You know what I mean?" And that's the other thing with these handicap stickers. A lot of it, all you got to do to get one of these stickers is be fat. I think they should have to park farther away. If the doctor really cared, I mean, I'm sure some of them are in pain. You know what I mean? But in some of those cases, I feel like there should be handicapped spots that are farther away from to make them walk farther. But that doesn't make any sense because nobody's going to want that.
That's like at a gym, right? Why do you have parking up front? What shouldn't everybody be walking into the gym? Just silly.
Which,
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I'm still under a lot of stress. My blood pressure is on freaking believable right now, and I'm trying to manage that. I don't want to drop, you know, I don't want to drop dead.
they don't have you
But
on pills, do they?
I just started taking something. I used to take it. And it's really genetic, and I've been on herbal supplements for blood pressure for 2 years now, and it's just not working. And you know, lisinopril is it didn't have any negative effects that I could tell. You know, no lightheadedness, no problems with anything else. So I went back on that, and it's creeping down, dude. I was triple digits on both numbers. And I broke the scale. I think the scale went to 199. I was actually over that. It was
Oh,
not
that's pretty
good.
high.
I saw that. I just shit my pants. But I felt okay. You know, I don't have headaches. I don't have dizziness or anything. But anyway,
Gotta do what you gotta do, man, you know?
yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. Yeah, I just needed to find a job now because
So
I.
did you see this new investigation into the sports gambling? Cash Patel and all that.
No.
They've busted a whole bunch of NBA players and for sports gambling and
Oh,
you
so it's
know
not
like
just Pete Rose.
oh no. No, this and I'm not I can't repeat any of the names because I don't really watch the NBA. I'm more of an NFL guy. But
Yeah,
I
that
mean,
is a
there we're
conflict
you're
of
talking
interest.
about like underground poker games. It goes deep. It gets involved in the casinos. But they've busted a whole bunch of people and they're still investigating a whole bunch more. But if they would only invest that kind of work into like pedophiles, and you know what I mean? It's like, and you know me, I used to like Trump a lot, but he's trying to even sidestep that shit with the Epstein files and all that. I don't know, man. It just it's disheartening to see this. I really don't give a fuck about sports gambling or none of that shit. I think most people would are more worried about other crimes being committed that they're just not paying attention to.
I think we're all that way. You know, I was when
Yeah.
this whole No Kings protest thing happened, what I found humorous about it was, you know, the argumentation was Trump is doing super constitutional things. He's not a king. We care about the Constitution. Trump, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then you talk to him a little bit about, you know, well, how do you feel about the ICE raids? Oh, no, well, you know, there shouldn't be borders. There shouldn't be borders. And then you dig a little deeper and they're like, they want a pure democracy or they want communism. It's like, well, okay. So none of those things can work under the Constitution. So you're bitching about Trump doing something that you're saying is super constitutional that the courts are backing him on, but you're willing to rip down the fabric of the sovereignty of this nation for your idealistic purposes.
That's all it is, man. It's
How does that work? Idiots.
politics. I mean, no kings in general, I would be in favor of that. If it was up to me, we could abolish the entire federal government, you know, but they're not doing that. What they're doing is they're choosing a side. It's red versus blue. That's all this whole thing's about. And
I agree.
they're picking their side. Now, if they were singling out the things that Biden or Kamala Harris was doing in the same fashion, that it would be a whole different group of people out there.
Dude,
And
I've got a built-in litmus test for all this stuff. I'm sad to say it's my oldest son. And we were sitting in a coffee shop and he brought up politics. And we're trying to talk through this crap. And yeah, what he is just parroting everything I've ever heard from the left. And I'm trying to tell him that. He's like, no. You know, the left is terrible at organizing. The right is the, you know, the right's the side that, you know, puts all these groups together and look at January 6th. And I'm like, oh, dude, you had to open that door. Let's talk about January 6th, okay? And he's saying, you know, people were there beating up cops. That a couple people were killed. I'm like, no, the only person killed was Ashley Babbitt. Well, yeah, she was shot because she was trying to break into the thing. I'm like, okay, what they were doing was stupid, but it wasn't work. You know, it wasn't a death penalty level of stupid. And nobody was beat up like that, and no cops were killed, and you know, they let them in the Capitol building, and Nancy Pelosi turned down the National Guard, and they just it was a setup, and he's oh. But the point being, he's just literally parroting the talking points. You know, well, I don't listen to the news. Well, but so,
Right.
and I swear to God, I came home, went to one of my favorite YouTubers who's in Portland, and he's just kind of covering the, he's apolitical, dude, JD, what's his name? He was convicted 50 times. He's a 50-time convicted felon, turned his life around, covered in tats, super anti-pedophile. Like he's got a wood chipper tattoo on his side for pedophiles. Anyway,
I mean,
he
if
was played.
somebody's not anti-pedophile, what the fuck is wrong with them to begin with? You know,
Bingo.
but
No,
I
but this
mean,
dude is like super vocal about it. Make pedophiles afraid again. He sells these hats. It's great. But he's playing an MSNBC or it was like CBS or something, this newscast, And I'm hearing exactly what my son just said to me. Exactly the same things. It's like, okay, dude, you're just repeating it, you know?
That's what I was going to say. You don't have to watch the news anymore. It's an echo chamber on social media, and they'll tell you exactly what the news is saying because all they do is repeat what they hear. You
Yep.
know, it's like you
Yep.
were saying.
And he was his he just wouldn't stop going off on Fox News. It's like, dude, do you know how irrelevant Fox News is? Like, it was super relevant back when Obama got elected, and it was super relevant, you know, Trump's
Yeah.
first term. But
The
really,
same people own both networks.
yeah,
It's
right.
divide and conquer. That's all it is.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's I was I finished up RFK Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci.
Oh, yeah.
And like the whole last chapter was talking about Bill Gates.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's bad, man. It's freaking bad. It really is. That dude, I thought Fauci was like our biggest threat. But people that are speaking up about Bill Gates are over the target. That he's like the single largest individual land holder in the United States.
Right.
He's the majority shareholder for Google, Alphabet, actually Facebook, Amazon. The dude's got his fingers in everything.
Yeah.
And those companies were the companies supporting the government in the COVID shutdowns. So Bill Gates's fingerprints are all over COVID on the industrial side of it. You know, he Alphabet Corp, so Google's parent company, was spinning up production facilities to create the vaccines in order to pump them out at the levels that they wanted to pump them out. You know, every citizen of the United States vaccinated was their goal. And Gates had run the scenario, the pandemic scenario overseas a couple of times. And in 2016, they ran one. And they came up with the numbers that they were using to promote the vaccinations, 220 million people dead in a year. That all came from Bill Gates's stuff. And it's, you know, my son's going, I this when he brought up politics, we're talking about this stuff. You know, he's like, well, that's a conspiracy theory. It's like, okay, if you want to call it that, I mean, RFK Jr. has receipts on all this stuff. That book is freaking documented to the hilt.
What
He's never
year
been
did he put that book out?
2022,
Okay.
I think. It was after the pandemic.
Yeah, Gates, he comes up on this show all the time. And have you heard of this appeal, the coding for fruit and vegetables?
Yeah.
That you can't wash the shit off. It's chemicals, makes the fruit and vegetables last longer. It's like nobody needs to be eating that shit,
Yeah,
you
no,
know.
he's a definite eugenicist.
Yeah, his
Dude,
dad
him and
was involved in Planned Parenthood at the beginning. One of the
right,
main
and
dudes.
I hate to say it, but yeah, Rockefeller Foundation's involved. It's the pentaverate, you know, from Mike Myers' routine from So I Married an Axe Murderer, you know, the pentaverate, the Rothschilds, the Gettys. They meet in a secret location every fortnight. Yeah, it's wild. There's an element of truth of that stuff, right? It's that's what makes it so compelling, is that there is evidence that these dudes are meeting up. There is evidence that the World Economic Forum has their fingers in this shit. You know, there's like Gates wants to see depopulation. And
Absolutely.
how would the
He's even
largest
talked about it.
landowner, how would the largest landowner in the country affect depopulation? Maybe converting farmland to AI data centers, because that's what's happening here. It's disgusting, dude. It looks like these little power substations going in and farmland, and it's not all it is power for the AI data center. That
Yeah.
shit, it's got to burn down. It would naturally. This whole AI fad would burn itself to the ground if people were honest about it, you know, how useful it actually is. Because it's not what they're promoting it to be. That's a fantasy, but it is good for some stuff. It is good for
Right.
some stuff. Menial tasks, repeatable stuff. I just saw an ad for a theological AI engine to help you with your spiritual journey. I'm like, fuck no. Sorry.
Right.
Fuck no. I will, no, 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 no. Sorry. That's
That's like
like,
the opposite, right?
exactly. That's like, the whole idea is that everybody is on this path, right? Everybody's on a path, and you either, you know, believe in our creator or you don't. And that's it. That's the unforgivable sin, is to reject God, because there is no other path for you. You are not going to be with him. And you could call it heaven, you can call it hell, you can say whatever you want, but he's very clear. And so to put somebody else's non-living, non-spiritual teachings or help or whatever you want to call it, no, fuck no.
I would go even further than that. A lot of people think that AI is like a vessel for demons or fallen angels, Nephilim, whatever you want to call it. But so there's I forget what country it's in. I did a show on it probably like a year or two ago, but it's an AI Jesus, where people stand in line and they go talk to this thing, and it's like a, I don't know if it's a video monitor. Yeah, it's been going on for a while now. I think it's like in South America. I'm not 100% on that, but
I'm a
yeah.
little biased in my opinion about that. And part of it, I think, is the Catholic Church has not done itself any favors in this regard. And it's really about the iconography. If you can, you know, put your faith in a St. Christopher medal, if you can put your faith in a statue of Mary, and it's not, and I'm not saying they worship those things, but it's iconography. It's a slippery slope, and when you start when you can embrace that, embracing a digital Jesus is not that far down the road, you know. And
Right.
so I feel that's definitely dangerous.
Yeah,
I
I don't
mean,
trust the Vatican. So if you notice, I don't follow the Catholic faith all that close because I'm not Catholic, but I've seen where it's like they're trying to befriend the Buddhists, the it's almost like they're trying to bring together a one world religion.
universalism.
Yeah. And they're trying to get a foot in the door with the Muslims, all that stuff. And that's what it's going to come down to if they keep going the way they're going. And even with the UFOs and shit, somebody said they were going to baptize them if the UFOs came. Did you ever hear that one? Yeah. Yep.
That's another area. I've studied Catholicism as a Protestant. I studied other cults that are Christian-ish, like Mormonism. Sorry,
Yeah.
all you Mormons out there. I could talk for hours about that stuff, but Catholicism, you know, it started as the universal church. That's where it started, and that's where it's headed, you know. That's what Catholic means, right? Universal.
Right.
And you look and shit in history, like the Crusades, they were justified. You know, did bad stuff happen? Yeah. Those were men it doing men things. You know, that's one of the kind of euphemisms that the Wounded Warrior, or sorry, Save a Warrior Project has, is that we're all just tubes, dude. We're literally tubes. Like our primary canal, in the mouth, out the butt. It's just a tube, your dick is just a tube. Your eye duct, your tear ducts are just tubes. We're all just tubes. We're just tubes doing tube shit. That's what your parents were. They were just tubes doing tube shit. The Pope's just a tube. I'm just a tube. It's not meant to be demeaning. It's just kind of, look, at the end of the day, none of us is special. We're all built the same way. We're all constructed the same way. And I forget where I was going with that. I apologize. We were talking about.
Universal.
Oh yeah. So you have, the Council of Nicaea. You have, all these events that happened to try to unify the faith into a digestible, compact form. So that's where you had the rejection of some of the what we now call the apocryphal books, like the Book of Enoch.
Yeah.
That used to be in the canon of the Christian Church, and now Catholics still have it. It's like the side bookshelf. You got the Holy Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and then you've got the apocryphal books.
We got into it about that Friday at Bible study. I said, I don't trust Constantine. I said, if you follow the history, he was
Exactly where I was
con
going.
what's that?
You're going exactly where I was going. We're on
He con he was
the.
conquering Christian empires, and now you got this giant empire that he's in charge of. Most of it's now Christian. And so he's like, well, I should probably become Christian so that it looks better. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, he did get baptized on his deathbed, but while he was doing this Council of Nicaea and all this other stuff, he really wasn't a real Christian, and I just we it something came up about the Book of Enoch. Somebody was talking about Nephilim and all that stuff, and the lady got mad. Not mad, but kind of like dismissive of it. And that's when I started going off about Constantine, Sorry to interrupt.
No, dude, you're exactly where I was headed, and it's kind of like in my mind, I'm seeing a path, and it's a timeline, and it's Jesus is dead, the new church is struggling, Paul's doing his work, setting up churches as best he can. He's finding out, 3 months down the road, they're sacrificing people because they're Judaizers, or they're Gnostics or whatever it is. All this old religious stuff is creeping in, and Paul's trying to combat that, and then sometime down the road, a couple hundred years, you have this church mechanism that's trying to put boundaries on the faith system, and so those books are curiously spiritual, it's just they were just deemed not to be in the canon. And if you believe that, that's okay, right? That's okay. The books that are in the Bible lead, it's the path of the bloodline, from Adam to Jesus. And it tells that story, and it tells the struggle, and it tells, how thick-headed the Jews were, just like me, just like you, just like everybody, right? It's this whole story of humanity that God could do everything for us, and we still turn our backs on him. Moses is gone for how many days? 2 days, and they're building sac. They're building golden idols, and it's turned into this bacchanalia of, sacrificing to other gods and Baal and all kinds of shit. And it was like 2 days, 2 fucking days. He led you out of Egypt, and this is how you treat him. It's like, and then the Ten Commandments come down, and it's like it's this beautiful love story of how God's got infinite patience with us. Anyway, and so you have these other books that were written in that time frame that tell other stories. Like there's a book I know that tells about like Jesus as a child, and there's stuff in there about miracles. Like there was a dead bird, and he brought a bird back to
Yeah,
life. And he's,
what is the
I
name of
forget
that?
which book that is, but they're there. Those stories are there. Are they
Yes.
true? Are they parables? Are they? I don't know. I don't know. I'm ignorant to that, but they exist, and there's interesting stuff in them, like Nephilim, tells a
Right.
little bit more than Genesis 6 did about it. It left a mi Genesis kind of left this mystery. The Book of Enoch fills in a lot of the blanks. God was trying to isolate these creatures because they were they were shitting in God's bed effectively, right? They're given what somebody said to me was interesting, that they had the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So they're basically dispensing the wisdom and the heavenly knowledge that came to Adam and Eve with the apple, with the fruit, that
Yeah.
act that they committed. And the Nephilim are basically propagating that, you know, and that
And
made me
they're,
think, it's like,
you know,
holy
they're
shit.
teaching people astrology, how to make
Egyptians, maybe,
weapons.
like the importance of pi and how to make a triangle. And, you know, it's like everybody likes to say that's alien. You know, some higher form had to have come down and taught the Egyptians how to build the pyramids. I kind of have a theory about that now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
The
the
more
age.
I, the farther we go, we get into this, I think it's all spiritual. UFO, angels, demons, it's all the same thing to me. You know.
And there's, like I said, there's spiritual stuff in those books that could be beneficial to us to know or at least be aware of, you know. But instead, the Protestant belief system says, nope, those were rejected. They're no good. Forget about them. Catholics are weird because they read them. It's like, maybe they're not so weird. Maybe, you know, maybe there's something to them that could be interesting.
Now, the
Again,
Ethiopian Bible has still contains a lot of that stuff,
yeah,
and
that's not surprising.
Ethiopia is an interesting place because supposedly that's where the Ark of the Covenant is still, but they have a bunch of churches that are like decoys, so there's a fake Ark of the Covenant in every Ethiopian church because so that they can't find the real one. Have you ever
Wow.
heard that story?
The French should have tried that with the crown jewels, I hear. You hear
Yeah,
about that? Anyway, if they've had decoys on display at the Louvre, maybe anyway, yeah, I've heard about that. I've heard about it. And some of those churches are freaking amazing, like carved into the rock. Like they go down 200, 300 feet into the rock, and they're trying to preserve them now. They're putting up like weather barricades and stuff like that so the rain doesn't wash out all the carvings. And so I would give half of my liver to go see that stuff. I really,
right.
really, that's a bucket list. I want to go see those. That's just amazing to me that the engineering, you know, that like the pyramids get all the credit, but there are those churches are jaw-dropping. Amazing feat. How did they do that? How, you know, the carvings, the manpower to dig out of the rock, out of the hillside to create those things is absolutely phenomenal.
For me, it's the basement of the Vatican because I think it has both. It's got all that going on, but then the stuff that they've got hidden under there.
The catacombs.
Yeah.
I had heard, I just somebody mentioned this, and I had not heard of it anywhere else, but supposedly some catacombs were discovered somewhere Middle Eastern, where they had to it took them years apparently to dig down to get into this labyrinth system, and they discovered DNA of a different hominid species. So it's like
Huh.
human-ish, human adjacent. I again, it's dumb for me to bring this up because I don't know anything about it. I just heard about it. But supposedly, there's evidence down in these catacombs of ritualistic burial practices and things like that. And they would like take their dead 200, 300 feet down below, you know, the surface of the earth and perform ritualistic, you know, mummification or whatever it is that they did, but supposedly they're not human.
Huh. But
I haven't looked into it.
if you take into consideration like evolution, right? Let's say somebody's living underground for a couple, two or three generations. What don't you think that would change their physical makeup at some point? Maybe not two or three generations, but
You're just going to have a very limited genetic dispersion, right? It's going to be more like a stereotypical Appalachian family that's got a vertical family tree, right? You're
Right.
just, it's going to be inbred. And that does cause, you know, we know that that causes birth defects. We know that that causes genetic mutation. But you're still human, you know, you're still human and you still have the markers for what that means to be
Yeah.
a Homo sapien. And this is a Homo something else,
Okay.
supposedly, supposedly.
I don't, I'm not familiar with this, so I didn't know to what
Yeah, me either.
extent you were saying it was different.
Supposedly it's a different genetic species. It's like,
Huh.
it's not just a mutation. It's the difference is as distinct as it is between us and gorillas. There's
Huh.
similarities, right? But we're absolutely different. That's what I heard. Could be crap, you know, and I'm betting it's
And
crap. It's just like Lucy, you know, the hominid skull that they have, that they built off a bone fragment that was that big.
yeah, I don't
And
this.
then they say it's, you know, this predecessor to humanity. Roll my eyes.
The hell was I gonna say? I
Yeah,
can't
sorry.
remember now.
I'm a king of running down rabbit trails and forgetting where I started. That's not a good thing. But yeah, and when you look at, you know, I'm every all of us have a worldview that's built on a lot of stuff. You know, it's how we were brought up. It's how, what we've learned as adults, you know, and those things change over time, right? Like when I was in seventh grade, I'd never heard of what a conspiracy theory was, so I had no clue. And so my opinion about that changed as I learned more. And that's true for your faith system. You know, I hope and pray that people find the truth, that, you know, that Jesus's message and God's message touches their hearts and changes them, and they seek Him. You know, that's a Christian's goal, right? Is
Right.
not to conquer. It's that's not our job. That's God's job. We're just mouthpieces, and you know, He'll work through the Spirit. He'll work on your heart, and because that's there's an old expression. Oh, it was G.K. Chesterton said, and I'm going to paraphrase, you as pallid and polite as a man might be, there's no way to his heart without hitting him in the head. And he was basically saying, this is what stops us from believing. You know, our brain, our heads get in the way. You gotta just smack somebody in the head with the truth, you know, to break through, to get to their heart. And
Right.
it's a great quote, and I didn't do it justice, but that was, he was Catholic. And I have no doubt at all that he was a Christian, that he believed, you know, his work is phenomenal. If you've never read Chesterton, but
I mean, I wasn't bashing Catholics,
no, me either.
no, but I mean, it's all Christianity in the end of the day. But
Well, and that's so what you brought up Constantine, and in the timeline of Europe, those you know, from two, when was Nicaea? It was like 243 AD or something like that,
it
I
was
think.
325.
325. Okay, so you're in the triple digits, you know,
Right.
and that time frame from there through the medieval times, countries all along, you know, up and down the coast of Europe, especially on that western side, converted to Christianity. The Vikings converted to Christianity. Like the pillagers, you know, like second to Genghis Khan, converted to Christianity. And what does that mean? Were they Christian, or was it the Christian system of government? Because that's, you know, that's something people confuse, kind of conflate when we say things like America was founded on Christian principles. Absolutely was, right? There's evidence in the writings of the founding fathers, the state constitutions, have clauses in them, like, you have to have an abiding faith in the creator in order for the system to work, kind
Right.
of thing. But it was more than that. It was the banking systems, right? Usury, banking, the justice system founded on basically the Ten Commandments, more or less, right? You
Right.
sh shall not kill. So murder is illegal. It's like top, capital punishment. There's a Jewish system. There's an Islamic system. There's a Buddhist system. There's a Indian, systems. But Christianity took chaos, the chaos of the tribal cultures, and brought order to it, and I think under Constantine, that was kind of his goal, was to reduce the chaos, to reduce the warring factions, to bridle, the avarice of the Huns and, those warring tribal cultures by introducing this new way of looking at life and this new way of dealing with mankind. Treat others the way you want to be treated. That was a Christian principle. And that's what I think Constantine did. He didn't necessarily spread the word. He didn't spread the faith. He spread the system. And with it, you ended up with things like the Spanish Inquisition. confess your faith or die, kind of thing.
Right.
And like only 1,200 people were victims of the Spanish Inquisition. We make a much, much bigger deal out of it than it really was, but it's an interesting footnote in history because it shows you what men are capable of doing in the name of God, and it's horrible. And so the Crusades get a bad rap. Well, the Crusades would never have happened if Islam hadn't been ransacking all of the Holy Land, and they took over Jerusalem, and they're burning down, temples, and they're burning down the history, and they're, that's honestly, I think that's where the Ark of the Covenant ended up. It got melted down. It was taken by the hordes of Islam, and just melted down, and whatever.
I don't know, man.
Maybe not too powerful.
I don't think it can be melted down,
I
but
don't know. I don't know. That's the interesting thing about the old system of law versus the new system of law. It was an escalating situation where the rules, look at how the rules built. The law that Judaism lived under got more and more and more complicated, right? And it got more and more and more strict, and it got more and more and more controlling. And you had the dietary restrictions, you had all your labor restrictions, you have all the law, eye for an eye stuff. That was all Judaic law. And when Christ came, he basically flipped that whole thing on its head and said, really, there's two laws. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and spirit. And I always butcher that one. And love your neighbor as yourself. If you did those two things, if everybody in the world did those two things, holy crap, this would be an amazing place to live. But
right.
instead,
I just read that this morning.
yeah, two. But that's so to me, all of that symbology, not all of it, obviously. Ten Commandments are the foundation of the Christian belief system. Really is, even though Jesus said that, I don't know that he was being literal, that everything, you don't throw everything else away, but it is kind of symbolic of that, right? So the power that the Ark of the Covenant had, I don't know that it holds that power anymore. I think it served its purpose. It served its
Maybe.
purpose as a guide to get them through the 40 years coming out of Egypt, right? Because that's effectively what it was. It was that beacon. It was that star that they followed, the lodestar, and it served its purpose. And I think God's very pragmatic about that stuff. And to hold on to it, to me, It's a curiosity. You know, if it still exists, that would be so freaking cool, you know? But how would you ever know if you have all these fakes? So is it,
Yeah.
you know, once you have a counterfeit, I wrote a novel once. It was you know, every November there's this novel writing competition. Here's a rabbit trail for you, called NaNoWriMo, National Novel Writing Month.
Yeah.
And so the goal is to write a novel in 30 days, you know. And I wrote this story that this guy, he was basically after an artifact that wasn't one of a kind, but super, super rare. Like there's only 20 of these things known to exist. It was a machine. And he discovered through accident this portal back in time, that effectively created a conveyor belt where he could go back in time and get a new machine from the factory and send it forward. And so he sent forward like 1,000 of these machines into present day. And the value of all the machines just went right down the toilet, because now he's got these brand new, factory brand new, untouched, mint condition, rare machines that aren't rare anymore because he made them not rare because he brought them forward. You know, so it's like the value of that thing was completely diminished through his actions, through this accident in time. And so his very goal of having a rare and valuable machine, it was the irony of what his actions did to what he wanted, you know. And so now he doesn't, his machine's worthless, and they all had the same serial number, and so it just polluted the value of the
Oh.
entire pool, you know. So now he just shot himself in the foot by doing this, you know. So it's not rare. It's not his whole his goal in the process was warped by greed, and then he discovered that it was a mistake. And that's kind of, to me, that's like when, if we say there are 10 fake Arks of the Covenant, and if they're so good that you can't tell the difference between them and the real one, who knows? God knows, right? But
Right.
anyway.
We gotta wrap it up, but
All right,
no, now
man.
this novel writing contest you said you're in, now how many people get into that?
It's pretty big. It's pretty big.
So
It.
what's the top prize?
Oh no, it's all personal.
Oh no,
It's a
okay.
personal accomplishment. You wrote a novel in 30 days,
Oh,
you know?
okay.
And so you can have, some people take those and then self-publish and stuff like that. For me, it was an interesting experiment to kind of try to put all these pieces together in a time. Anytime you deal with a time continuum, it's mind fucking. Because you're
Right.
like, okay, did he do this? But I felt, you know, the parallel to the dilution of something of value by having more of it than should exist. You know, that's an interesting paradox.
Oh, that's all true, though. It's going to come to fruition every time.
Well, good times, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, maybe you can come back next weekend. I got a feeling I'm going to be working next Sunday, so maybe we'll do like a Friday or Saturday night.
Okay. I'll try to have something different, interesting to talk. Like we talked about Nephilim a little bit. Maybe
Yeah.
we can
I
crack that
like to
egg
stay
open a little
on the
bit.
Bible
Okay.
stuff. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? And you do too, obviously, so that'll work. We can always talk about other stuff too if it comes up, you know, like the sports gambling, you know. I got a
Yeah, I
bunch of
just.
stuff written down here that we didn't even talk about, but
Okay.
we'll get we'll if we have a chance next week, we'll talk about it. And so if anybody's got any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers@yahoo.com, conspiracy soldiers on Instagram, Rumble, YouTube, the phone number 313-583-7646. Leave us a text or a voicemail. And that's about it, unless you got something, Brian.
I would just say, you know, kind of back to the starting topic, if anybody out there, if you're tired of fighting, if this battle in your body, in your mind is taking you down, saveawarrior.org. They love you. They will take care of you. And I will become your brother as well, and that goes for sisters too. They have a woman's organization or a woman's cohort path that
Yep.
it's a little more gentle, maybe.
I'll put the link, and I'm gonna name the episode Save a Warrior, so
Sweet.
and then the link will be down there and all that. I'm not great at that, but I'm starting to figure it out.
All right, man. Thank
All
you.
right, until next week, Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.